Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Michael J., and this is Hyperthetical. I'm thrilled to have back Sir Jerkface himself. Dave, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here.
No, thank you. It's always a pleasure to come back and, you know, handle the myriad complaints, although...
Is our chief complaint officer here at Hyperthetical? Have you been inundated with complaints since your last appearance?
Strangely, no. I mean, I do have one complaint that I brought myself, which is, you know, that's normal. I bring complaints with me everywhere I go. So,
and are we going to hear about this complaint today?
Yeah, sure. Let's tackle that quickly. It's more of a like just an a cultural sensitivity awareness thing for you. Because it stems specifically from the religion episode.
Yes. Okay.
And I just want to say that your nostalgia for TV things from your childhood is not the same nostalgia I have from that same period, because you talk about Full House and that lineup of shows being the like pinnacle of culture from that time period, and I disagree. Like, I was much more of the like your Hill Street Blueses and LA Laws and your Equalizer. I was a big fan of the Equalizer and Stingray. So I was probably watching shows that shouldn't have been, that children my age shouldn't have been watching. Probably should have been watching the things that you were watching, but you know. So I just wanted to say that nostalgia is not the same for everyone. So you can't really.
I agree.
Okay.
Right. I agree. And that's, you know, we're an open religion. So just because some faction of our religion prefers Full House and Saved by the Bell and Step by Step doesn't mean that we aren't inclusive of those that prefer Law, LA Law, Hill Street Blues.
I mean, I can get behind and a few episodes of Small Wonder. I mean, that was...
Yes, Small Wonder is a classic.
That show was just so bizarre that it... I mean, there's so many things wrong with that show. But anyway, that's a different topic for... We'll talk about that offline.
Sounds good. All right, so let's jump into our warm-up game then. And I'm afraid that just like Small Wonder, there's going to be quite a few things wrong with what we come up with here. But I would like to know... we're going to take a photo walk. I want to know who you want to go on a photo walk with, where you want to go on this photo walk, what type of pictures you're going to take. Who do you want to take pictures with?
So I thought about this one a little bit, and you know, I don't like to give it too much thought because it's not really what this show is about, you know, thinking too much. So, right. So I came up with an idea that I like, but it's a surprisingly earnest one, so it doesn't really lend itself well to a very comedic podcast kind of thing.
That's okay.
Not that anyone ever accused this of being funny. I think I would like to take a photo walk with Vivian Maier, who is, she sort of came into a fad in the photography world a few years ago because she wasn't a well-known photographer at all. She was a nanny or a caretaker for some children for a family that was fairly well-to-do. But over the course of her lifetime, she took a lot of really great street photography photos. Okay. And it wasn't until after her death that many of them were discovered. And the unfortunate thing is that nobody really knows much about her or you know, no one ever spoke to her about her art while she was alive. So really it's all sort of a posthumous look at her collection of, you know, very random day-to-day street photographs. And a lot of them you can catch glimpses of her in them, like in the reflection of the window that she's shooting at. But she takes great photos of just people on the street and places in the street, and they're like books and exhibits. And I think someone even made a documentary about her that I haven't actually seen. But I've heard it's very good. I'd really love to be around her while she was doing her photography out on the street. And that's a style of photography that I really like is you know, your urban street photography of that slice of life, that capture of that moment, the mundane moment, to sort of elevate it to a to an artistic view of something.
Where would you like to walk with her to take photos?
Obviously somewhere urban. That's sort of my forte, and that's sort of what she was known for. So somewhere in Chicago, somewhere in New York City, somewhere, downtown Nome, Alaska. I don't know.
So there's going to be a lot of walking involved.
A lot of walking. Yeah. And I think I'd like to do it in her active time period, I can't say the exact dates, but let's say it was in the past, but in the, I think it was 20th century still. So, I mean, obviously photography, right? So, it was all black and white stuff that when you look at it, you sort of get that sort of nebulous, 30s to 40s sort of era, kind of look to things, but I can't verify whether that was.
So roughly mid 20th century.
Yeah.
Chicago, New York, possibly Alaska.
Yeah, possibly.
You're going to take pictures of just random street scenes that the two of you come across.
Yeah. And, I think I would like to be able to spend that time talking to her that no one ever really had to ask her questions about her art and her motivations and things. So,
okay.
But she is a, she was a Chicagoan. So Chicago makes sense here. I don't know if it was for her whole, period of working, but I know the family that she worked for was a North Shore, family. So,
okay. And would you both be taking pictures on this photo walk?
Yeah, I think I would like to get some tips from her. I mean, she may not even think of herself as, someone, who knows, she may have been very confident. We don't know, but, hopefully she'd be able to give me some tips on my photography. I'm definitely not a professional or even a highly skilled amateur or anything like that. So,
So would you, since you're going back several decades,
yes,
would you bring today's equipment with you, or would you use the equipment of the time?
That's a great question. I was assuming I would use equipment of the time. And I think I would still stick with that answer, but that would be kind of an interesting thing to do, to show her some of today's modern equipment. I don't know that, if I've only got the one day to do this, I probably wouldn't spend a lot of time trying to, show her the latest Nikon or anything like that.
But, right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're probably gonna need more than a day if you're going from Chicago to New York to Alaska.
I just want to make it clear. I don't want to walk the whole way to Alaska.
Oh. Okay, so a little less walking involved.
Yeah. It'll be a series of walks with modern travel in between.
I see. Okay, yeah. Well, it's still photo walk, so
yeah,
I suppose we'll qualifies.
Take some pictures on the airplane.
Yeah, I'm sure the other passengers won't mind.
Yeah, hopefully not. I mean, it would be a little more conspicuous than you're like, I'm doing a Snapchat over the shoulder here. It would be like a big like. One of those cameras that has the flip top thing you have to look down into and has, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. So. And you'd also be on a 1940s airliner. So.
Right. Like a DC-10 or something. Yeah.
Right. So I'd imagine it's a little more glamorous though back then. So maybe people
wouldn't be. That's true. That would be sort of like everybody would be sort of like primping for their photo,
Right. Which sort of plays against the style of photography that you're going for.
Although I'm sure airports in the 40s were a great place to people watch too. So
I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure. All right. Well, let's, I like that one. I could, I'd be interested in seeing the pictures from that.
Yeah. You'd probably be more interested in seeing her pictures from that than mine. But,
I wouldn't mind seeing both sets of pictures.
Okay.
So then I can, tell you how much worse yours are.
Okay. All right. It's not a competition, but if that's the way you want to do it.
Everything's a competition to me.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Okay. A very judgmental competition.
Yeah.
Which leads me perfectly into my photo walk. My photo walk, I'm going to invite a bunch of people because that's what I like to do. I'm very inclusive, as you know. I'm going to invite Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles to take pictures.
Okay.
And I'm sure you can start to imagine why. I'm going
because you're a cruel bastard.
Well, That's putting it politely. I'm also going to invite George Morrison. I don't really know how to pronounce his name, but he was the tallest player to ever play in the NBA. He's like 7'7".
Oh, okay.
He's still around. He was actually in a Wall Street Journal video to review the latest iPhones. That was a pretty funny video. Okay. So he's enormous. And then I'm going to get perhaps the ghost of Mini-Me, Vern Troyer. I want to get somebody really short and that to go along with somebody that's really tall. Then I'm also going to invite a couple of comedians, Amy Schumer and Mike Lawrence from Roast Battle.
Okay.
And so what we're going to do is we are going to take pictures at an ice cream shop. We're going to take pictures of random people eating ice cream.
So is this a specific ice cream shop or just any generic?
Just any ice cream shop. I'm not too particular here.
Okay.
I don't really care about the ice cream itself.
Right.
We're taking pictures of people. It's got to be one of those ice cream shops where you can like, or frozen yogurt shops where you create your own,
where you can
put your own toppings
add
on.
Your own toppings, right? Yeah.
Make your own.
Then you
thing.
Have to weigh it at the end.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's so I figure by having the tallest NBA player of all time and then one of the shortest actors of all time, we get two different perspectives on pictures. I'll be taking pictures. I'll be part of this competition, even though I'm terrible taking pictures. But that's why I'm inviting Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles to take pictures as well.
So that you're not it's sort of the running from the bear philosophy, right?
Like right.
You don't have to be the fastest. You just have to be faster than the slowest.
Right. Right.
Right.
Although I have a feeling it's going to backfire on me and Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles are going to take better pictures than me.
Yeah. I wouldn't put it past them.
I wouldn't either.
Talented
I'm really
artists.
Bad at taking pictures.
Yeah. They're talented artists in their own right. So I'm sure they can find a way to infuse right. something good into your cruel joke of making blind people take pictures. So.
Right. But at least I'm just trying to give myself a shot here.
Right.
Because I'm really bad at taking pictures. And I figure by having the other competitors be really tall and really short, that there's a good chance they're going to have the wrong perspective when taking the pictures. You're going to see lots of the tops of people's heads when
sure.
George Morrison's taking pictures. And you'll probably see the bottoms of the ice cream cups when Vern Troyer's taking pictures.
Now, I imagine that George would be, I'm assuming because he's so tall, he's also going to have really long arms.
That's true.
So I think he might be great at taking selfies too, you know, because.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, he'll for have sure, to right. obviously crouch down, but you're right. always looking for that person with the longest arm to take the group selfie, right?
So. Right, right. Well, that'll be a fun sort of tchotchke to throw in at the end, but I don't sure. think we're going to include selfies in this competition.
All right. It's your rules.
Yep, exactly. So then Amy Schumer and Mike Lawrence, the comedians, are going to be there to judge the pictures and the subjects of the pictures. So they're just going to, you know, rip into how poorly we all take pictures. But then also, if somebody comes in and makes some sort of ridiculous concoction of toppings with their ice cream, it's free game for the comedians to show them up. And tell them what's wrong with their concoction.
They're going to get burnt, is what you're saying. If they,
yeah, like, absolutely.
Yep. If I get a small cup, but then pile it with 2 pounds of like marshmallow crispy things and gummy bears, then yeah.
Well, yeah, why would you have crispy gummy bears? That sounds gross.
That was two separate things, but that's.
Oh, okay. I thought the gummy bears were crispy, and I'm like, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, no, that does not sound good. Yeah.
But that's the type of stuff that Amy Schumer and Mike Lawrence can dig into.
Gotcha.
So it'll be fun. I'll probably end up in last place, despite the fact that I've stacked the competition to hopefully perform poorly compared to me.
Well, I mean, and you're expecting to be roasted at this,
right.
you know, so,
right. and which is and then, totally fine.
Right. So even last place at a roast is fun. So
yeah, still a winner in my book.
Right. 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 Yeah. Is that part of the reason you want to go to an ice cream place is because it's a roast and like ice cream and fire kind of thing, or is that, am I looking at it too deep?
I think you might be reading into it a little too deep.
Okay.
And I did say there's a photo walk, so we will be walking around the ice cream shop.
Okay. All right.
So like cashiers are not off limits.
So you're going to torture the underpaid teenagers. Okay. Fine.
Yeah. It's fair game. We'll have some sort of signs up on the doors before you walk in. This competition is going to be occurring and you agree to be roasted by if you just choose to walk into the ice cream shop.
Is the like public invited to the judging portion? Like, can they come and watch the you get made fun of, essentially.
Yeah, and they can be made fun of. I mean, if they're really funny, they can join the comedians in helping to roast.
I think that's a bad idea.
Right, but you have to prove that you're really funny. I'm not sure how you do that.
Okay. Well, that's your rules, so you're the judge of who's funny, I guess. So.
Exactly, exactly. Which means we'll just have the two comedians that are roasting.
Good plan.
But, you know, we got to give people something to aspire to.
I suppose.
So, yeah, that's going to be my photo walk. Because I don't want to walk too far. That's a lot of effort.
I was going to say,
walking around an ice cream shop seems a little bit more manageable. Plus, if I get hungry, I can have some ice cream.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't sound like you'll be walking very far unless you go to the world's largest ice cream shop. And
We'll have one built for this competition.
Oh, okay. So it's like a soundstage sort of ice cream shop.
Yeah, it could be. Or we could just build a brand new one day, like pop-up shop that's the size of a football field or something.
Well, then you're sort of going against your not wanting to walk too far thing. So,
maybe like arena football field. So like half the size.
Okay. Okay. And those are like 50 yards by like 10 or 20 yards.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We could even make it smaller because I mean, if you put it on TV, the cameras will make it look bigger, right?
A basketball court or, you know, because this is you like a size of a hockey rink.
Right. Right. Or like half the rink is, I mean, if we do the whole thing on ice, that'd be kind of cool too.
I suppose.
Can you imagine like George Morris on all 7'7" of him on ice skates?
Well, that sounds even crueler to Stevie and Ray. So it's,
it might be a dream come true for them.
I suppose I shouldn't judge, you know, what they want with their lives. They're extraordinary people who've done extraordinary things. They may want to. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, worst comes to worst, if Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, they give up on taking pictures, like this is just too difficult, they can always sing. Everyone will love that.
Good point. They do have a fallback mechanism. So
yeah, so I think they'll be okay.
All right. I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think I've taken enough pictures now.
Okay.
We can jump into the main game. And for today's main game, we are going to build our own mini golf courses. And I want to know what your miniature golf or putt-putt course is called, what the theme of it is, what unique designs your course will have, whether it's obstacles, crazy hazards, some sort of weird flow, who the course is designed for, where it's located, and how much are you going to charge for a round of mini golf at your course?
Okay, sounds good. I think I've got some ideas for this.
Okay, let's hear them.
All right. Excuse me. So mine will be called the Gorilla Golf Club, and that's Gorilla with a G, or with a U. All gorillas are with their G, right? So so that means it has forcibly inserted itself in somewhere. And since golf, miniature golf is all about the obstacles,
yes.
I was trying to think of where is the best place that has the most natural built-in obstacles. It would be fun to play golf around. And I thought of Costco. So you're going to have your own putt-putt set up inside Costco and, at peak hours, obviously. So on the weekends, in the afternoon, we'll just set up some holes in the ground and, you'll have to putt between, all the myriads of shopping carts and people just randomly standing in the aisle, spinning around, looking for things and they don't know what they are, past all the free sample dispensers and the piles of pallets, boxes of everything. And, you know, the best part is that some of those obstacles are in motion.
Yeah, that is true.
And clearly no one cares if they're in your way at Costco. I know I've been there and I've tried to get through there quickly and it's just not possible because
this is, let me just say before you go any further, this is amazing.
Oh yeah.
And you need to build this.
I know they make those little portable golf cups that have like the little arms that lever in, right?
Right.
So I guess it's possible. You could just like set 10 of those around, and I'd pick 10 because it's a random number, but golf has numbers assigned, right? It's either 9 or 18. So either 9 or 18 of them around, and then you just show up.
I mean, it sounds like a YouTube viral video that just needs to happen.
It kind of does, doesn't it? Yeah. Those would be all of our, it's got built-in obstacles all over the place. So, and it's, you know, it's got snacks if you get hungry. It's got booze if you need to take that, what do they call it? The 19th hole break, right?
Yep.
The 19th
hole.
It's called the 19th hole. Okay, great. Yeah. Can you tell I golf a lot? So some downsides to it though. It's, you're gonna have to have a Costco membership to join. So it's an exclusive club, like a country club, you know. So
right. Right. That seems fair. Yeah, that should probably help them sell a lot of memberships, I'd imagine.
Well, I don't think this is something you want Costco to be in on, right? Because if they stage it, they're going to want a comfortable experience for people. So, no, I mean, this has got to be a true guerrilla sort of thing where, you know, the people come in and set up the holes and they move around.
So you're saying that when you finish your round of golf, you don't turn your scorecard into the greeter by the door to make a mark on your scorecard like they do on the receipts to make sure that you are only leaving with what you took?
No. What you pay for? No, there's going to be a weirdo in the parking lot that you have to stop and see.
It does the same thing.
Yeah. It does essentially the same thing, but he wears like a trench coat and probably hasn't showered for a couple of days and, you know, kind of dirty. I don't know why. I don't know why he has to be gross. But
well, okay.
So this is for anyone with the Costco membership, though, because you need that to get in.
Right.
But it's also got a little bit of subversive suburbanite built into it, right? And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know those type, but that's sort of what my neighborhood is full of. It's like the people who moved from Brooklyn out to the suburbs when they had kids, and they're not super happy about it.
Right.
They still think that they're cool and hip, although they're not.
Right.
Although I don't think my neighbors are listening to this, so I probably didn't have to whisper that. But you know, they like to still view themselves as a subversive, on the edge personality. So that's who this is for, really.
You have definitely figured out your market for this.
Thanks. Well, and it's kid friendly too, right? So you can bring your kids. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, on a lot of mini golf courses, they have like a special final hole where it eats your golf ball. So, you know, at the end, and then like, depending on which hole you get into, you get a different score for that hole. Are you going to have some sort of special final hole?
That'll be a little difficult. I think what has to happen is the final hole has to, you have to putt into the employee only break area.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know if you're a Costco member. I mean, membership does have its privileges, and I am a member. So but when in any Costco, you'll have to walk past the like lockers in the employee break room to get to the restrooms.
Right.
So it's sort of usually a long hallway. So you have to put down into the hallway, bank it off of the box or the area of the boxes you can use to cart your stuff out in. Bank it off of that and then into the employee area, and then you can't go in there because it's for employees only. So essentially, your ball has been eaten.
So at some point, Costco's gonna be like, why do all of our stores have obscene collections of golf balls
in the employee area?
In the employee area,
yeah.
What are our employees doing that we're not aware of?
I mean, I'm gonna assume that we're just breaking open the packages of golf balls that they sell at Costco accomplish this game, so they will be Costco's golf balls because no one has paid for them and taken them out of the store.
Right.
I'm sure
they'll have no problem with you using the merchandise within the store.
I'm sure that they won't. I mean, nobody there pays attention to anything. So.
Right.
Okay. Sorry, Costco employees.
What are you going to charge for a round of golf?
I think it's going to be very reasonable per round. I don't know what your average rate is today. Let's say it's, would I be off if I said your average round of putt-putt is like $10? Does that seem low, high? I don't know.
That seems, I think, in the ballpark.
In the ballpark. Okay. So it'll be reasonable. It'll be in that ballpark. One caveat, though.
Yeah.
Because it's Costco, you're going to have to buy a pack of 10, no matter how many people are there with you. Like, there's only two of you. You're going to have to buy 10 and store the rest of them somewhere until it's time to use them. So, or until they go bad. So,
That makes total sense.
Yeah. Now, for people who get really good at this or want an extra challenge, there is an extreme version of this game. Yeah. There's an extreme guerrilla golf club that happens in the Trader Joe's parking lot the 2 days before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And it's extreme because this has to be the standalone Trader Joe's, because I know there's some that are built into mini malls that actually have decent parking.
Right.
But the standalone ones all have about 1/8 of the amount of parking that they need for that store. And it's a dangerous place. And there's cars driving around and people who aren't looking and backing up. So that's what makes this extreme, is that there's actually a, well, then, frankly, there's a risk to your life. So right. I mean, if putt-putt's worth it to you, there's that. And then it, you know, it's just, it's an annual event. It doesn't happen all the time, just on those 2 days. So,
and you don't need a Costco membership.
And you don't need a Costco membership, right? So it's open to the public. So
yeah. Are there any special holes, or is it just don't get killed by a car?
It's mostly just stand out there with a golf club and hit the ball around and hope you don't die. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds fun. Fun to watch, at least.
Yeah. I mean, it could get really weird if you let people bring their own clubs and they bring something other than a putter. Like someone shows up to the Trader Joe's parking lot with a, you know, like a driver. And I mean, that could get really.
Yeah. Well, I think you have to set the rules, right?
Right. That gets extreme for like another reason, because then people who are just there doing their shopping are also at risk. So it's
what are you going to charge for the round of Trader Joe's parking lot?
I think that one is an open competition. So whoever is deemed the winner of that one actually gets a prize. Like you don't pay for that one.
Oh, the winner pays for it?
No, the winner gets a prize.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's probably like a pack of triple ginger snaps or something. Something for Trader Joe's. A turkey,
maybe. Are you going to charge $2 a round in honor of the $2 chuck?
Yeah. Well, if $2 chuck actually costs $2, that right. that would be the charge. But yeah, since that's actually a falsehood, then
I'm definitely ready to sign up for both courses. I'm ready to play.
Yeah, great. You'll be probably in the leaderboard for both of them for a while. I'm sure.
Right, so. Till it takes off, at least.
Yeah. So,
well, that's exciting. And way more sane than what I was expecting.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I mean, I guess we could may play putt-putt in between the semi-trailers outside your house or something. I don't know.
No, thank you.
Oh, okay.
For my mini golf course, I had a hard time coming up with mini golf courses. So I have three ideas.
Okay.
They're not really well thought out. But
what I would expect. Yeah.
Yep. Thanks. And so I'm gonna run them by you, and then you can tell me.
All right. I got a fresh sheet of paper here. Yeah. So okay. I'm taking notes. Let's go.
All right. So the first one, you know, a lot of mini golf courses that I've been to in my life, and I've been to a lot, I've played a lot of mini golf. A lot of them are, for whatever reason, safari themed or animal themed. I mean,
okay.
I guess the reason is because they're appealing to kids. And so kids apparently like animals.
Well, it's exotic. I think it appeals to the adventurer in all of us, which is what we want in our mini golf.
Of course. So I'm actually going to bring adventure to mini golf with my safari themed golf course, mini golf course. And it is going to have, it's going to be an actual safari with real live animals roaming the course.
Okay.
We're going to set it up in Africa at one of those safari type places. We'll hook up with one of the tour groups there that runs those safaris.
Like a real safari place, or one of those drive through safari kind of thing?
No, right, like a real safari place.
Okay.
Yeah, no. I want adventure here.
Okay.
Like real adventure. So, you know, we're going to set up the holes right there in the middle of the fields that the animals are roaming in.
Okay. So like in the fields, but not like a hole where the ball goes down into an actual lion's den.
Oh, good.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, we need to be cognizant of the animals. We want to treat them respectfully.
Okay.
Right. But the animals are, you know, we're inclusive. So we're including the animals in the golf course. So you're going to have to, you know, there will be a lion's den hole where maybe you putt through the lion's den. I'm not sure. But lions will be roaming that hole.
Okay. I can see, I mean, that does sound dangerous. But
yeah, but it brings adventure to mini golf, like real adventure.
Okay, yeah.
The only weapon you're going to have is your putter.
Right.
Again, we want to be nice to the animals, so please don't use your putter on the animals.
Right.
You got to putt around them.
Are there like handlers or like safari captains or whatever that go around with these people? Or
I don't know. I haven't really thought that part through.
Okay. So at this point, it's at your own risk.
I guess we should have like a handler or a tour guide or something, like act as the caddy.
Okay.
Right. And it kind of like advises you as to where to putt the ball.
You generally have like one club in a putt-putt situation. So not much to caddy, but.
Right. No, they're not. I mean, they could carry an empty golf bag if it makes you feel better.
It doesn't do anything for me, but right.
Well, I mean, it's an option. You could pay extra.
Okay.
To have a caddy carry. I mean, they can carry a whole set of golf clubs, but you can still only use your putter. Or maybe you'll have different size putters in the bag.
Okay.
So, like, depending on what kind of shot you need to take.
I'm sort of getting the feeling from your earlier statements, though, that these caddy / you know, guard / safari captains are there more for the animals' protection than the people, though.
They're there for the animals' protection, but also to help guide the golfers as to
so they can get a better score.
You know, is the hole going to break left to right or right to left? Is it uphill? Is it downhill? You know, how hard should you hit it? You know, watch out for that tiger over there. You know, you want to go between his two front paws to get it towards the hole.
Right.
You know, avoid the back paws because it's going to lead you in the wrong direction, kind of thing.
So there's still nothing in this safari putt-putt that is there to protect the golfer, just to make that clear.
I'm not saying one way or the other.
Okay. All right. So it's at your risk. I mean, it really does bring a sense of adventure to it, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to sign a waiver, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Many waivers. Waivers, you need your immunizations before you can even go over there.
That's a whole process.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it's going to be the most amazing 18 holes of mini golf you ever played.
Okay. All
right. Right. Because the animals are real.
Yeah. I know that there are people who are going to sign up for that. I don't imagine that their reason for signing up for it would be because they're super enthusiastic about putt-putt, but, you know.
They might be after that.
Maybe they will. Maybe they will.
I mean, every other mini golf course that they try to play after playing the real safari golf course is going to be a letdown.
Oh, for sure.
Well, unless they go to Costco and play golf. That could be pretty fun still.
It
may be more dangerous.
Yeah, right. It's a different risk to your life, but it's
good. Yeah, it's still a risk to your life.
Yeah.
The obstacles are basically going to be the animals and any traps that the animals set up.
Okay.
It's going to be, I mean, my target market here is the adventurer type, right? It's the thrill seeker, the adrenaline junkie. And this is the only way to really get your adrenaline going playing mini golf.
Now, I have to ask the question that you had for me, because it was a good one, that your final hole.
Yeah.
Do you have the end of the course, ball disappears hole?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I don't know how that would work. I mean, your round pretty much ends when an animal snatches your ball, unless you're dumb enough to try and go retrieve it.
Right.
Well, unless your caddy brings extra balls so you can finish the round.
Okay.
Maybe there'll be like a snake pit at the end. Do they have snakes on safaris?
Yeah, I'm sure you can build a snake pit in your safari.
And then you have to, you know, hit the ball into the snake pit without getting bitten.
Yeah, and then there's the obligatory Raiders of the Lost Ark reference when you go to see if your ball's still there, right? Like
that would have required me to see the movie.
No, I'm doing it for you. So it's where they say, why is the floor moving? Yeah. Anyway.
All right. So yeah, I guess that'll be the final hole.
All right. That's, I'm not going in there for that. So yeah, it works for me.
Good. And of course we'll have cameras set up everywhere. So there'll be like live stream all the rounds. So anybody wants to watch it.
Live stream plus like those, Great America on the roller coaster, photos.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when you go to the Lions Den.
Right. It catches your face right after you bank your putt off of a lion cub.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend that, but you could try.
I wouldn't either, but.
So yeah, that's the safari course.
Okay.
Probably going to be expensive.
Yeah. I mean, transportation included or?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm just charging for the round. You figure out the rest of it.
Okay.
All right. So that's the first course. The second course could potentially be as dangerous. I don't know why I'm coming up with dangerous courses, but that just sort of seems to be my thing today. So it is my second course, be a little more tame, but still pretty dangerous. And it's going to be a history of war mini golf course. And so each hole will be representation of a different war from history.
Okay. Are we talking like official nation to nation wars? Or are we going back to like the prehistory of man kind of thing where, you know, like the first time that man engaged in organized combat with his other.
No, I'm talking official within the last couple hundred years wars. Okay. Okay. So like War of 1812, World War One, World War Two.
Okay. So modern day warfare. We're not even going back to like Greeks and the Romans at this
point. Right. Yeah. Okay. I think we'll stick with modern day warfare.
Okay.
So each hole or a couple holes will be representative of a different war. And there will be soldiers from those wars on some of those holes, weapons, and you need to navigate each of them.
Okay.
So like you don't want to, you have to time your shots so you don't get bombed on a hole. You don't want a bomb dropping on your ball.
Okay. So that, I mean, we're talking like a large course here then.
Yeah. Fairly large.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'll probably have golf cart rentals for it.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can go from hole to hole.
Yeah.
For the lazy folk like me.
You'd have to refer to this as putt-putt then. You couldn't call it mini golf because there'd be nothing mini about it.
Might be a few yards shorter than a regular golf course.
Okay, but it's big enough for planes to fly over and drop bombs, though, or?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're going to be full-size planes. It could be smaller scale replicas.
Okay, so it might even be like small bombs, not ones that would, okay, all right.
Right,
so,
yeah. No, we're not going to drop an atom bomb because it would take forever to clean it up and do it again. It would get expensive fast.
And I mean, you really, at that point, you'd only have one hole, right? I mean,
because right, just, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it would make one hole.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That was really wrong of me.
Yeah.
So there'd be different holes based on different wars. And as we get into the really more modern wars, there could be drones that buzz by you. You could see, there'll be a hole that's like a bunker. It's basically an underground hole.
Okay.
And you want to finish that hole before a bunker bomb comes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. A hole could randomly be raided by oncoming troops.
Okay.
In which case they take your ball and set you back to the beginning. So you're going to, incur a few more strokes. All the stuff for war, basically, in Beast Course.
This one sounds really, really dangerous and really expensive. So.
Yes. But it teaches history, so you learn some good lessons.
Okay, so that's what this is all about teaching the children.
Okay. I mean, not too young. I mean, there'll be an age limit here.
Sure.
But I'm thinking by like middle school, high school, that sort of
must be at least this tall to participate in war. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be old enough to actually serve in war to play on this course.
No. But. Yeah. That's because this is not a real war. It's a
right teaching. And the obstacles will change based on your age. So the troops that could attack or the bombs that are dropped will be smaller for the younger ones.
So you've got your kid friendly bombs. It's like when you go to the bowling alley, you get the bumpers that go in the okay.
All absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean this is not like nobody's gonna die. Okay. We're not gonna kill anybody. Right? It's all gonna be like human safe bombs.
Oh, those famous human safe bombs?
Yes. They only attack the golf ball.
Okay.
Right. Might scare you a little bit.
Sure. Right.
But it's only going to have a golf ball. We don't want to hurt anybody.
Right. Okay. So you have put your ball, and it's maybe 10 feet away from you, still rolling, but there's live fire coming at that ball.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But it's totally safe.
Yeah. Like rubber bullets or something.
Okay.
Rubber bullets. I don't know how it works. I mean, because it's a mini golf course, so nothing in a mini golf course is usually real. It's usually a replica, a smaller replica.
All right. So I can get with the spirit of it, if not the technical details. That's fine.
Yeah. I don't know the technical details either.
No.
I just know it's family-friendly history of war.
Right. Perfect.
You're going to learn a little something. You get to play a little golf, have some fun.
Well,
what's not to love?
In true American children style, you're right, like we play war all the time, so it's
right.
Normal.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no different than getting some toy soldiers and
we don't need to debate the ethics of that, but that's what we do, right?
Right. So, right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So that's the second course, potentially more dangerous than my safari course, maybe not. Depends on your age, I suppose.
Yeah. And how you can iron out these toy war things. So
yeah, we'll figure all that out.
So someone will figure it out. That's what you pay the experts for, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So my last one is definitely safer, I think.
Is it Nerf mini golf, like where everything's just made out of foam?
No, that's a good idea too. It's safer, but it might make you sicker.
Okay.
It depends on how your body reacts.
Sure.
But I'm going to, I'm interested in building an outer space themed mini golf course. And because it's outer space, it'll be zero G.
Okay.
You'll go up in some sort of rocket or some sort of space shuttle, and the mini golf course will be built inside of that.
Okay.
Either the space shuttle or a space station, somewhere where it's all zero G.
So it's not only space themed, it's in space.
In
outer space, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, in space, no one can hear you putt. So it's.
That's okay.
I know that reference is lost on you, but I'm hoping that someone
happy. I mean, I've heard vaguely of that reference.
Oh, okay.
I don't know where it's from. Or
yeah. It's promotional from the movie Alien when they say no one in space.
Yeah, definitely need to see that.
Yeah, that's fine.
But it's going to be in zero G just because I would love to see people attempt to putt a golf ball into a hole with no gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Because the hole will be moving, the ball will be moving, you'll be moving, and there's really not much control.
At that point, it's more akin to like three-dimensional pool than putt-putt golf, right? I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it's a challenge that some people would be up for, but it sounds hard to me. So.
Yeah, I know. It'll be impossible. I mean, a good score will probably be in the hundreds, if not thousands of strokes.
Yeah.
For a given round. Of course, the last hole, you actually putt the ball out into open space.
Goes out some sort of airlock.
Yeah, through an airlock. Mm-hmm. And then it gets ejected into space. And there goes your golf ball. Your round is over.
This is meant to appeal to your like kids who never got into space camp or like the guys who were going to pay, you know, however many millions of dollars to the Russians to take them up in their rockets or whatever.
Exactly.
You're
hired as the marketing guru for this course.
Because of my enthusiastic or whatever at the end of that?
Yes, because of that.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you nailed the first two target markets there.
Okay.
Kids who never went to space camp and billionaires that want to spend a fortune to get into space.
Yeah. I think we need to make it so that the billionaires, if they want to go, they have to pay for one of the space camp kids. Because I don't imagine that
absolutely.
Very many of the space camp kids became millionaires.
So. Right. Or maybe when the billionaire pays for his round, it includes payment for a couple hundred kids.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Okay.
To participate. Because I'd imagine the upfront cost is going to be high to set this thing up. But once you're up there, I mean, as many people as you can fit in there, the additional cost per person is probably not nearly as high, relatively speaking.
I mean, you're not going to have to worry too much about real estate. I mean, they call it space for a reason because there's plenty of it. So once you get up there, you can make it.
That's a good idea, though. We should have a spacewalk hole.
Oh, yeah. Where you get to put the suit on and putt towards the sun and see what happens.
Right. No, there'll be some sort of target to get the ball through.
You'll have to have this. I mean, since you do have, you know, first your final hole goes out into space, and then second, you have the spacewalk putt. You're gonna have to have this out past the layer on Earth where we have our satellites and everything going on, because I imagine introducing. I was going to say millions, but I don't think you'll have that many customers. Dozens of golf balls floating around in orbit is going to wreak havoc with the existing satellite infrastructure. So we're going to have to.
Right. Well, unless, you know, like a driving range, we're able to set up some sort of net.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Enclose the whole thing in some sort of.
Yeah, I don't know how big. I mean, it'd have to be a pretty big net, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's for the engineers to figure out. I'm certainly not one of them.
But, I mean, there is a precedent in the U.S. space program, at least for golfing in space or, you know, on other heavenly bodies, at least. So, clearly there are enthusiasts out there who will probably,
I think the cross section between mini golf and space is probably fairly sizable.
Yeah. You may be right.
Cause they're just two cool things.
Yeah. I mean, space is cool and golf is golf. So,
Yeah, so I think so. Those are my three concepts: safari, history of war, and outer space.
So, and clearly you've selected three very expensive ones, and I think I'm not sure if the outer space one would be more expensive than the history of war or not. I think initial setup costs, yes, for sure.
Right.
But then there's like, I mean, bombs cost a lot of money, right? So I mean,
These are, you know, human-friendly bombs. So.
Oh, I'm sure that makes the price go down, right?
Right, of course.
Of course.
I mean, we could just replace the bombs with glitter bombs.
Yeah, confetti bombs, yeah, right?
Yeah.
So it just hits the ground and then suddenly everyone's showered in glitter.
Right, which makes it harder to putt the ball when it's covered in junk.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so maybe that's the form of family-friendly bombs that we go with.
All right, well, in that case, then I'd say you definitely gave them to me in order of escalating costs. So,
right, yeah, because I mean, setting up the safari one won't be very expensive.
No, I mean, those animals are already out there, right?
Right, so. We're using natural habitats. So.
Yeah.
All we have to do is dig some holes.
That's all you have to do. Just dig a couple holes.
Yeah. 18 right. of them, that's all.
18, yeah.
Or 17 in a snake pit.
Right. You don't even have to dig that last hole. That's savings right there. Right. Right.
So, yeah. Well, I guess I'm starting with the safari one because that seems to be the most financially prudent golf course to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. Draft that up and take it over to your bank and see what kind of loan they'll give you. And
Yeah. You know, and to win the bankers over, I'll bring them to Costco for a round of mini golf.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Just play your banker this episode. You don't even need to write anything down. They'll get it. They'll see your vision. Right,
here's the business plan.
Yeah.
Perfect. Sure. Well, thanks, Dave. I appreciate you coming back on, joining me in my shenanigans here on Hypothetical.
Yeah. It's. I'm sad that we only had the one complaint this time.
I know people, for some strange reason, seem to like this show every now and again.
Yeah. Or at least don't dislike it enough to want to get off their butts and complain about it. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to call my audience lazy.
I'll do it. Your audience is lazy. I'm a listener to the show, so I know exactly how lazy this audience is.
So. Right. Yeah. So if you have a complaint about how lazy you are, you can complain to our chief complaint officer, which is yourself. Where can people find you online if you want them to find you online, or what do you want to promote this week?
I mean, there's not a ton to find online if you want to look for me, but generally in most places of the internet, if you find a Sir Jerkface, that's typically me. I hang around in several dark corners, not crazy dark corners, just like weird ones, but, you know.
That's anyway, moderately dark.
Moderately dark. Yeah, let's call him, you know what? Let's just stop describing it. I'll just leave it at that.
Probably wise.
And let's see, last time I promoted the Movies by Minutes podcast. And this time I'm going to do the A to Z music podcast. So there are several of them out there that I think the most famous is probably Alphabetical, where they cover all of the Beatles songs in an alphabetical manner. So, you know, start one episode per song. There's another good one called ABC Devo. That's pretty good. And then there's a David Bowie themed one and a Ramones themed one, and they can be fun. So just other people's podcasts is what I'm. Don't listen to this one. Go straight to these.
Well, if they got this far, they're pretty much already done listening to this one.
I'll give it my plugs at the top.
I put them at the end for a reason. Got to make them listen to get the good stuff from you at the end.
There you go.
But thanks again for joining me. I appreciate it. Hope you'll come back someday, and hope those complaint lines don't fill up too full for you. That's it for this episode of Hypothetical. Thanks for listening, and be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _Hypothetical, and subscribe to Hypothetical on your podcast player of choice. And if you do have complaints about Sir Jerkface's picks for this week, or you prefer Sam's Club over Costco, give them a call at 937-63-HYPER. That's 937-634-9737, or send us an email at hypotheticalshow@gmail.com. Until next time, this is Hypothetical.